The first Sunday in Lent. The epistle is taken from the second letter of Corinthians. Brethren, we entreat you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard thee, and in the day of salvation I have helped thee. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We give no offense to anyone that our ministry may not be blamed. On the contrary, let us conduct ourselves in all circumstances as God's ministers, in much patience, in tribulations, in hardships, in distresses, in stripes and imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleepless nights, in fastings, in innocence, in knowledge, in long sufferings, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in unaffected love, in the word of truth, in the power of God, with the armor of justice on the right hand and on the left, in honor and dishonor, in evil report and good report, as deceivers yet and yet truthful, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastised but not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet enriching many, as having nothing yet possessing all things. The gospel is taken from that of St. Matthew. At that time Jesus was led into the desert by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil, and after fasting 40 days and 40 nights he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If thou art the Son of God, command that these stones become loaves of bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, not by bread alone does man live, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If thou art the Son of God, throw thyself down, for it is written, he has given his angels charge according to thee, and upon their hands they shall bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." And he said to him, "It is written further, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said to him, "All these things I will give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, the Lord thy God shalt thou worship, and him alone shalt thou serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. In the past number of years, in the past 50 years or 30 years, there's been a certain error that has kind of crept into the church. And this is the idea that if you're a good Catholic, that once you receive the gospel, or anyone to whom the gospel has been preached to, that you should not then have any sorrow, that we should be joyful, joyful in all things, so that as we go through life, we should have complete joy. And so when we do our prayers, we should always be joyful. When we say the rosary, we shouldn't have a serious face, but we should have a joyful face. Or any type of spiritual devotion, we shouldn't have this serious countenance on our face, but that we should be overflowing with joy. And as I said, that's a little bit of an error. The idea is that, yes, we should be joyful. We should be joyful. And that joy will have its fulfillment if we make it to heaven. But while we are here in this world, our joy is tempered with the difficulties of life, the difficulties that we face because of sin. Now, joy and happiness, the theologians will say they're different, but for our purposes here, we can consider them basically the same. They're always related. Our happiness or joy comes when we have some good thing that we possess in some way or another. And there are different levels of happiness and joy. If you find $100 in your pocket that you didn't know you had, it can lead to a little bit of happiness. You say, "Hey, I found $100. All right." You know, a little bit of joy, a little bit of delight. That's one level, and that's a very simple example. Or it can go to higher levels, a good marriage. The spouses take joy in each other. Parents have joy and happiness in regards to their children. Our state in life, we can have a certain degree of joy there. And then, of course, in heaven, that joy will be fulfilled, where we will possess the greatest good, God. So remember, when we have a good thing and we know it, then that leads to joy and happiness. So in heaven, we will have God, and there will be nothing that can separate us from him. And so we will have the greatest joy in heaven. And so there are different levels depending on what the good is that we possess. Now, sorrow is when there is some evil present, then we have sorrow. And so any type of evil, that is remember, evil is when there's a lack of a good that should be there. So any type of sorrow or any type of evil can lead to sorrow. So, on the one level, we think about if we get in a little fender bender, we can add a little sorrow because, now I have to pay for this. I'm going to take all my time and, there's a bit of an evil. Now, it's not a moral evil, but it's a material evil, and it can lead to a little bit of sorrow. No, it shouldn't be life-ending sorrow. But anything else, any other type of loss, of course, a loss of a member of our family always leads to sorrow. Why? Because the good has been separated from us. There's also sorrow in hell. Now, that sorrow has no end, because they know that they've lost God, they're separated from God forever. And so there's a certain type of sorrow there. There's a certain type of sorrow in purgatory, where the souls know that they are separated from God and there's a suffering and sorrow, but that's different than hell because they know eventually they will get there. So like joy and happiness, we can have different levels of sorrow and suffering. Now, to go back to our question, and that is, for those of us who have heard the good news, heard the gospel, should we always have joy and never sorrow? Well, no. First of all, we can look to the faith itself. We have devotion to Our Lady of the Sorrows, and that's an ancient devotion. And Our Lady was sorrowful, and she's the first and best disciple. And so it would appear that if we were to follow, then there would be sorrow for us also. We can also look at Christ in the Old Testament, some of the prophecies about him. He's referred to as the man of sorrows. Of course, that refers to his crucifixion. We can look at the liturgy, that there is a certain sorrow during this time in which we are supposed to think about the man of sorrows. This is why during Lent that we wear violet vestments. And so sorrow is part of our faith, and a good Catholic should be sorrowful. And so in the faith here during Lent, the color of penance is violet. Why do we wear violet? Just because we needed to assign a color for penance, and so violet was up? No. Violet represents, first of all, the violet robe that was put on Christ during his mocking before the crucifixion by the soldiers. It was a mocking of his kingship. Of course, as Catholics, we recognize that as, how he became king was through his suffering and death. And so we wear the violet to represent that. But also, there's another reason why violet is fitting, because violet represents, or it should call to mind, the bruises that Christ suffered during his beating. Anyone who's had a really good bruise can see there's a purpley violet color that comes out. So when we see violet, the color of penance, should lead us back to the man of sorrows, Christ. And so during Lent here, the church asks us to reflect on this, that we are to put aside the great joy, but to reflect on sorrow. Or to be sorrowful. And so during the liturgy here, like I said, we wear violet to remind ourselves of that. But the liturgy itself, if you notice, between the epistle and gospel, there is no Alleluia antiphon. There's no Alleluia. That during other times of the year, there's Alleluias, but there are no Alleluias during this time of the year. From Septuagesima season all the way to Easter Sunday, no Alleluia, unless there's a really special feast in there in which we don't wear violet. But we put that off. Why? Because Alleluia is the prayer. It's a joyful prayer. There's no Gloria during this season, if you notice. No gloria in excelsis Deo. Why? Glory to God in highest. We're giving him glory. That's a joyful prayer. So we put that aside during this season also until Easter. Why? Because Holy Mother Church wants us to spend a little bit of time thinking about these things. We have to set aside our joy a little bit to meditate on what? On the evil that is present, that is separating us from the good. And specifically, what evil is that? It's my sins. It's my sins that cause me to be separated from Christ. Now, a venial sin will damage that relationship. I'm not completely cut off, but my mortal sins completely cut me off. And so now is the time that we're supposed to reflect on that, and it should lead us to a little spirit of sorrow. You know, when we do our penances, penances also cause a little bit of sorrow. You can think of the kids, they might be giving up candy. Well, they want the piece of candy, and you think, oh no, I can't have it. And so there's a little bit of sorrow. That's a good thing that they're denying themselves. Or for us, I want the Starbucks coffee, but can't have it. Oh, how I wish I could have it. There's a little bit of sorrow there. It's nothing very serious, but this is the natural result of our penance, is this little bit of suffering. You know, and today in the church, say there's a crisis of confession. And I often think that part of that is caused by this overemphasis of joy. In order for confession to be valid, we have to have sorrow. Only one of two sorrows, there's many types of sorrows, only one of two types of sorrows makes a confession valid. Sorrow that, for mortal sins, that will go to hell, that's imperfect contrition, or sorrow that we've separated, or sorrow that we've offended God for himself because he's all good and deserving of our love. And that's more perfect contrition. But contrition is another word for sorrow. And so we should be sorrowful when we go to confession. During this season, we should reflect back, and even our past forgiven sins, both venial and mortal, we should reflect on that, sorrowful about how we've cut ourselves off from our Lord, about how my sins caused our Lord to have this color, to be clothed in this color, both by the robe and by his bruises, and that it should give us a little bit of sorrow. Now, this sorrow shouldn't be all-consuming, because there is the joy of the good news that Christ did come to redeem us, and that through our sorrow, we're forgiven. We go to confession, and we're given graces. This is what St. Paul is talking about when he says, now is the time for grace in the epistle. What is it? He's talking about this world. After this world, there's no grace. So now is the time to receive the grace. Now is the time of the Holy Spirit. So our sorrow can lead to that through our true contrition for sin. But then also, like I said, this joy should be there. And this is also what St. Paul is talking about. He says, towards the end, he's referring to himself, sorrowful yet always rejoicing. And this is this idea that, yes, we should have sorrow for our sins, the fact that I have done this, I betrayed our Lord. But then also there's a certain element of rejoicing that should always be there. Like I said, our sorrow shouldn't be all-consuming and all-destructive, but to know that our Lord is merciful and that he then gives us his grace through the Spirit to bring us back to him, to bring us to a greater holiness and to a greater love. And so, during this season of Lent, it is a season of sorrow. The idea that we should always be joyful and that there should be never be a long face when we say the rosary, that's wrong. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay to reflect upon our sins. It's okay to reflect upon the sufferings that I caused Christ by my sins. but it should also be tempered with that joy. So, during the season of Lent, it is a season of sorrow a little bit. Let us reflect upon our sins. Let us also do good penances. For if we are to imitate Christ, he is the man of sorrows. And so to imitate him, to follow him, we should also have a share in that sorrow if we want to be with him forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen.